This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/MBO. Terms and conditions apply.
Lafondra looking to get Coastline to Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Umpire Roles Preview podcast supported by Phantom Bruco. Well, we'll be looking forward to the game against Carlisle United on Saturday, but it would be very, very remiss of us not to mention the fact that we've had a 4 point deduction, which we did do a podcast on. You can have a listen to that one. But to talk about what Ruben Sellers had to say about it today, I've been joined by James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle.
Right, Paul. Afternoon. Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been at least 25 minutes, hasn't it? Yeah, it feels like that, doesn't it? It's like,
yeah, it's been not even a day. Not even a day since our last pod.
No, it probably isn't. Well, I mean, what kind of mood was Ruben in today? Because I've like seen some of the comments that he come out. He seems in quite a defiant mood.
Yeah, he's angry. He's peeved, like the rest of us are. Fed up and probably quite, well, fed up of it already, as we all are. He's not quite sure why the deductions are coming when the EFL have been saying things to the contrary. I think we all just want to get on with playing the football now and doing what we've got to do. He didn't sound too convinced that would be the end of our deductions, which isn't what we want to hear. But I guess no one can say with any certainty what Dye will or won't do. So we've got to be prepared for the worst and hope for the best. He's just, I think, ready to get back to talking about the football on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. If you do want to listen to that podcast that we did, it's called Death Fire at EFL. I think it's a very apt one because Ruben did bring up today about contradictions on the EFL of what they've been saying publicly and their actions privately, which I 100% back him on.
Yeah, I think that's the big talking point of the latest deduction is the kind of the feel of betrayal. I think the Chronicle have kind of led on that for our front page as well tomorrow. We just wanted them to be straight with us. You know, we're not expecting to forever get away with points deductions. But it just kind of leaves a little bit of a bitter taste, obviously, to the staff at the club as well as us fans, as we were feeling yesterday. Despite saying that they're not going to try and push for deductions and that it's pointless, they've actually been pushing for them more than what we actually got away with yesterday. It leaves a bitter taste with everybody, and hopefully it's just a bit more fuel to burn the players to picking up however many points we need to stay up.
Yeah, well, he did mention that he's very confident that he's going to get paid tomorrow. But obviously going forward from that, he's not so sure, which, you know, as we've discussed many times, the EFL are actually making this more difficult by all these deductions and making it less likely to get a new owner, which means by proxy that we're going to have less money. So I don't understand their logic at all, but you got a feel for the squad and the players repeatedly having these punishments put on him. And from periods when it feels like it's backdated repeatedly from times when he wasn't even here as a manager.
Yeah. I mean, these ones obviously were, these came related to October and November, but these ones really are just pointless because what could we do about it? You know, it's not Ruben paying HMRC. I'm sure he's up to date with his tax affairs as, you know, as most people are in the country and in the world. So it feels very harsh. I get, obviously, the EFL have regulations and rules and 71 other teams to look after and, you know, all that lark that we're all well aware of. But it just seems very harsh, these individual ones where, you know, it's through no fault of the club and no fault of us or the playing staff, but we're the ones repeatedly being kicked.
Kicked and then kicked again and then a little bit more. You know, why not? It's a bit like Shrewsbury Town with Lewis Wing and Femi Aziz at the weekend, wasn't it? Why not just leave your mark and try leave there for a little bit longer? But from what you've heard, no rumblings of either of those players being out this Saturday. Didn't seem to mention them.
No, it should be business as usual. I think Yeardon's obviously still managing his injury that he had a while back. So, I don't know if he's ready for a full 90. He's sort of played 70, 75 minutes last few weeks. Dorset, looking unlikely for Saturday, although I don't think he 100% ruled him out, but he said unlikely for Saturday. And if not Saturday, then definitely next week for Wickham. Tom Holmes is a bit slower than what they'd hoped. But still a couple of weeks away. So with any luck, just before the international break and then, maybe back again for the running.
He also gave a full backing to David Button, which, to be fair, I don't think he's going to change the goalkeeper at the moment. I just can't see it. I mean, you look back at it, I know, other people who did the podcast with me at the weekend had their opinions on it. And for me, I think the first one, maybe he should have done a little bit better. But the other two, really tough on him to say it's all down to him. And not that they did say that, but, I think particularly the third one, that was a tough one. I think a lot of goalies wouldn't have saved that. Is he a good goalie? No, I don't think he is a great goalie. But what's your thoughts on him?
I think he's much of a muchness, really. I think you'll find that there's probably 15 to 20 keepers like David Button in League One. You won't want to have to rely on him constantly. There have been games where he've had absolute clangers. I don't think any of the ones in recent weeks have been to the level that Northampton was, when all three goals were directly his fault. And he stuck with him then. I think it would do more damage than good to come out and kind of not give anything but backing to David Button and publicly in the media. It's an interesting one. Pereira, we've not seen a great deal of, but he's always looked very, very good. Boyce Clark, I still think, needs another loan out to play regular football. But personally, I personally wasn't too disappointed. I won't be disappointed should Button play on Saturday, which he probably will. I think he'll do the bare minimum. He's not a league-winning goalkeeper, but equally, I'm sure there are worse keepers out there.
Oh dear, I can imagine some of the fan base absolutely seething in the car on the way to Carlisle or in the train. And if you are listening to this on the way there, that's a long journey. I hope you have a sweet journey home with 3 points. I really do, because and well done to you. But Carlisle did manage to pick up a win yesterday. I'm pretty sure it was against Burton. My mind is rapidly trying to rumble through and trying to remember who it was against, but I'm pretty sure it was. So we don't go there on the back of them losing 9 games on the trot. Is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? Because now they've got a little bit of confidence, but ultimately they've won, 5 games all season?
Yeah.
They're pretty poor, aren't they?
Yeah, that's one of those. You can spin them however you want. No matter what happened, I would have said it'd be very Reading to give them the win, either their first win in 10 or... great, they'll just go on a bit of a run once they've got that first win just against Reading, or just against Burton before playing Reading. I don't think it should change or alter how Ruben or any of the players go into it. It's a game we should be looking to win. And I'm sure they'll be very fragile still. They didn't concede Tuesday, but if they were to concede an early goal or concede at any point, I'm sure there'd be a few jitters among the fan base. But they really are in do-or-die territory. They've got to throw everything at Reading because... well, even with that win, they're 11, 12, 13 points off Reading, and we're now the ones to be shot at, just above the relegation zone. So, they'll be looking at that as a must win, and if anything, even a draw for them, and that's then probably curtains. It's going to be an interesting game. I definitely think it's going to be one where Reading are going to have to ride their luck a bit and then look to be clinical, because I think Carlisle are going to throw absolutely everything they've got at Reading, and if Reading can hold firm. And then, maybe you give them a sucker punch. I just think the energy and the hope will just sap out of them. And it could, after that, be a relatively simple afternoon. But concede first, and Reading have got Kilimanjaro to climb.
Kilimanjaro. But I'm at Mount Everest right next to it, because this is what we do, Reading, isn't it? It's always the most difficult journey possible. I'm going to ask you, James, what is your score prediction? It's a long journey home if we don't get a win. And I really, really do think this is the 6-pointer. We're now in that territory, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 1-1. I don't think we'll lose, but I don't think we'll win. And, draws, aren't going to be our best friend at the minute, but that does all but virtually relegate Carlisle. So that's one less team to have to worry about. Kind of reduces sort of the positions left to play for in the relegation zone, and it just kind of gets us back onto an even kilter. I think if we were to lose Saturday after the week we've had with losing last week and the points deduction and all, you know, the energy of having, 1,400 fans travelling up to Cumbria, I think if we weren't to come away with at least something, I think it would be a big psychological blow. So just get up there, get something and come home, and then we go again with what then is a must-win against Wickham at home on Saturday.
Yeah, it's all possible, isn't it? It's all possible. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Reading win. No, 2-0. Do you know what? I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say that we're going to open up that gap. I have to be optimistic. Inside, internally, I'm fearing everything, absolutely everything. But I'm going to say we're going to open up the gap. Cheltenham aren't going to win. They're going to draw, maybe. And then we've got it back to, say, a five-point gap, effectively. So now Matt Lansley will be joined by a Carlisle fan talking about the match on Saturday. Cheers for listening.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/MBO. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Elm Park Royals Preview Podcast. I've been joined now by Lee from the Brunton Bugle. Lee, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. After we ended our appalling run of defeats and lack of clean sheets. So yeah, I'm in a much better mood today, albeit still very despondent about the fact that we're probably going to go down.
Yeah, we're recording this the day after Carlisle have just picked up their first win since, what is it, New Year's Day?
New Year's Day, yeah.
It was nine losses in a row, it was in the end?
It was eight defeats in a row, yeah.
Eight defeats in a row and then a 1-0 win away at Burton Albion last night. And I don't know if this is a good thing or not for Reading that you've won, because you never want to be that team who comes up against a team who've lost eight or nine in a row, because you always think it's going to be us who end up breaking that run for them. So how did you play last night, firstly?
It was a dogged performance. I mean, what I would caveat it that last night, Burton probably the worst side I've seen this season. And I'd actually say that about both games against them. They're really poor. I'm sitting here absolutely gobsmacked that they've got 15 more points than us this season, because they really aren't a good side.
I think they're the only team that you've done a double over so far, aren't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, they are. I think there's only one left who we can, and that's Shrewsbury, I think. Shrewsbury, the only one we can. So, yeah, they're just awful. They didn't play any football. They played it long. They only looked good when they put the left winger on later on. We took advantage of a set piece, scored from that. But we looked lively when we tried. The thing is, have you been to the Pirelli Stadium yet this season? Because their pitch is appalling. It's so bad.
I haven't been this season, but I've been before, and I do remember it being not great.
Oh, like one side of the pitch was like, it literally was a sand pit. It was ridiculous. So yeah, it was a tough one. But we ground out, and to be fair, Akif made two or three really good saves, but beyond that, didn't have a huge amount to do. So it's a hard one to judge, but we went back to basics. We went back to the back three that is the back three that got us a clean sheet earlier in the season, the only other clean sheet we got. So it was a little bit back to basics, and they just ground the result out. And I think that's the most important thing at the moment. A bit of pride is what we want back. We're realistic, and we look now and think, look, the chances of us staying up are very, very slim, to say the least. But if we can get a little bit of pride into the way we played, we can get a bit of momentum. And then into next season, with all the things that have happened in terms of ownership and stuff, we're probably in a much better position to bounce back at the first attempt. Whereas under previous owners, I think we probably would have sunk and had a tough season in League Two next season as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the ownership there. And obviously when we met, when was it, the back end of November, you'd just been taken over by the Piatics. And it feels like you've kind of entered a little bit of a new era with them. January, you signed, you know, a number of players. I think you broke your transfer record in January to bring in
Luke Armstrong.
Who was heavily linked or was very close, I think, to joining Wrexham at the end of the summer as well, and didn't end up joining them. So it feels like there's been some investment, but it hasn't necessarily paid off on the pitch yet.
Yeah, I think some of our fans are a little bit unrealistic, and I probably got a little bit carried away myself, and on our pod we did, in that we thought, you know, come January we'll get all these signings and everything will be sorted, but it's never that easy. You know, if you're going to make it, you know, half a dozen signings, they're not necessarily going to all bed in at once. And the signings that are all going to be good play for the future, 100%, I'm really confident of that. But in the short term, the momentum was just so downward, it was very hard for them to lift the team to get to a point where we potentially, you know, we're going to drag ourselves away from trouble. Armstrong, we paid allegedly £250,000 for, which is like £100,000 more than our previous transfer record. I know Wrexham were going to pay £500,000 for him, but apparently Harrogate was so annoyed with the way it was all handled and all went that they knew he was going to have to go in January anyway, and they didn't want to sell him to Wrexham. So they came to us because they knew we'd been interested previously, but couldn't match what Wrexham offered. And in the end, they're like, well, you know, we might take less for him, and we've agreed a deal. I think there's a few add-ons in there, but we're not likely to hit any of them anytime soon, the way things are going. We got Harry Lewis from Bradford as well, who's found it tough in goal, but he kept his first clean sheet, and his distribution actually is excellent. You know, he's very good with his feet. That's something that's really stood out. Who else? Harrison Neal looks a real find, you know, from Sheffield United. You know, he did really well at Barrow last season. Georgie Kelly's one that's for the future. He's been injured since he came in, unfortunately, so we haven't actually seen him play yet, which is a little bit frustrating. Josh Vella's an interesting one. One win came out of nowhere, and obviously he's coming on a free from Fleetwood, and he's looked quite good, actually. He's quite a solid little player, actually. We're quite impressed with him. I'm trying to think who else has come in. Jack Diamond as well, obviously been in the news a little bit for things away from the pitch in the last year or so, and he's only just got back to playing after, you know, his court case and everything, and he struggled at first because he hasn't played much. His match fitness hasn't been there, but actually on Tuesday night he had his probably best game for us. He played up front with Diamond, and he looked really, really lively on a terrible pitch. He showed some lovely touches and lovely little moments. So there's a kind of feeling like, okay, if he's maybe finally coming to life, he might be a bit of a threat for the rest of the season. So yeah, the investment's been there. It's been there on the pitch and off the pitch, to be fair, as well. Like, for you guys, it'd be different because it's the first time you guys have looked since the 80s. But anyone who's been in recent seasons to Brunton Park will be quite surprised at some of the changes in terms of the fan zone behind the main stand. It's all been done up, and the big screen, they hire there for every game at the moment, and they're going to get a permanent one done in the summer. Yeah, there's all kinds of things happening, and it's all really, really positive. You know, they're actually going to finish off the east stand that you guys will be sat in. That's not the actual shell inside. It hasn't been finished in the whole 25 odd years it's been open. And now finally we're actually putting some money into putting boxes in the top of it and things like that. So it's just nice to actually see a bit of effort being put into all. So yeah, it should be an interesting few years, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned obviously Wimbledon since the 80s, and there's not going to be many Reading fans coming up on Saturday, I imagine, who've been before. There's very few. I know it's certainly my first time, and we're taking 1,500 coming up on Saturday, something like that, roughly. It's definitely the away game I've looked forward to the most since we got relegated last year. Don't really know why. I feel like it's just one of those kind of, you know, pilgrimage games. If you're going to be a football fan who goes to away games, eventually you want to do Carlisle away, because it's just one of those games.
Distance.
It's distance, isn't it? I think that's it. Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned some of those signings, and obviously the fact that they haven't really bedded in yet has kind of coincided with the fact that your form has been pretty abysmal in 2024 so far, outside of that Burton result yesterday. It feels like you've kind of never really hit it at both ends of the field at the same time, because you've obviously conceded an awful lot of goals this season. You know, 5 to us and 4 against Cambridge at home recently, 4 against Bolton at home recently, 3 against Oxford recently. But you haven't stopped scoring either. You've had games where you've been able to score goals. It just hasn't necessarily coincided with the fact that you've managed to keep a clean sheet at the same time.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. So you noticed the fact that you kept saying recently, you've conceded recently. Because the thing is, up until we played you guys, I don't think we conceded more than 2 in a game. And we'd looked fairly solid in matches. No one was battering us. I think the highest defeat we'd had at that point was by a 1-goal margin. I think anyone had beaten us by more than a 1-goal margin. And we were kind of keeping ourselves in games. And it was from that point onwards, it just started to go downhill. And one of the big misses for us has been Callum Guy. And he got injured just before we played against you guys in the FA Cup against Orient. He did his ACL, so he's out for the season. He's a massive part of why we did so well last season. His job was to basically screen across the back four and, you know, cover space. He'd drop in because we had a back four. He would drop into our back three when players push forward. He's a very good passer of the ball. Chipped him with a few good long-range goals as well. And as soon as he went out of the team, we just lost a little bit of something, and we've only really managed to replace it with Harrison Neal in the last month. But it's taken him time to bed in a little bit because he hasn't played much this season. Same with Josh Fellis, time for him to bed in. So it's been a really tough one, and you're right, we haven't done it at both ends. Goal scoring has been a huge problem. The defensive side, yeah, has been a problem, but goal scoring has been a problem all season, whereas the defensive side only really became a problem in November. And that from that point onwards, it the confidence was just dented so badly.
I seem to remember when we discussed in November, we spoke a lot about Luke Plange, and he was not someone I had high hopes for really this season, I'll be honest. Carlos signed him, it didn't really pan out particularly, but the fact that you've only got two players above 3 goals this season in the league, it does indicate that there's not really enough, like, at the top end of the field. So even if you are scoring goals, it's not coming from the you haven't got a main man necessarily who's picking up goals. I know Joe Garner's still playing, but I think
he's gone to hell. He's joined Oldham in January. So basically we couldn't guarantee him the contract for next season. So basically he's been offered an 18-month deal by them, and he's been such a good servant. We're like, you know, off you go, mate. Sort yourself out. He's what, 35 now. I think our top scorer is Gibson on 9, I think. But Gibson's fallen a little bit out of favour recently. There's been a few issues in terms of his tracking back and his effort and stuff like that, which is frustrating. Because at times in the past, he's shown he's got that side to his game, but he just looks a bit devoid of confidence. There's talk that he's knocked back a new contract, so I think he's basically seen his time out with us, which is, we'll be disappointed if that happens.
He plays on the right, doesn't he, Gibson?
The right. He can also play down the middle a bit as well and play on the left. If you take him, I think after him, and now Garner's gone, I think our second top scorer is 3 players on 2 goals, which will be Sean Maguire, who's, again, he's been a real disappointment of a signing, if I'm honest. Sam Lavelle for his goal last night took him to 2. And Josh Vella, who he only signed in January. And I think he only got 6 career goals in his whole career. So we were not expecting him to be a goal scorer in midfield, whatever happened. So it's not been a great season. The attack has been so disappointing. And Josh Coyote being out all season with injuries as well. It's been such a disappointment, that one. Because that was one we were really excited about. Like, yep, bringing him back. He showed what a good player he was the first 2 spells he had with us, and he dislocated his shoulder in his first game, and he played his second game with the dislocated shoulder without knowing it, and then found out after the operation, and since then he's just picked up like calf injury after calf injury and has not been able to play. So he's played 2 games for us in a season long loan, which is, I mean, it sums up luck wise we've really not had any luck with stuff like that. Obviously in terms of the takeover, that being sorted in the summer, we could have brought players in. It's just been, it's been a perfect storm for things to not really go right in terms of us getting up, really. So it
feels like that promotion last season kind of has come a year too early.
Oh yeah, 100%. Simo said that. Yeah,
with the club being taken over in the middle of a season when you're likely to be, you know, relegated, it feels a year too early. If it had been this time next season when you might be, you know, pushing the top end of League 2 potentially.
Yeah.
it feels like that's a much better time for a new ownership group to come in. But you kind of have to make the situation.
Yes. The fact that
you've managed to sign some players who are probably going to be a good standard for League Two already for next season suggests that there is a kind of some preparation already going into it. And it feels like, I mean, you've got Paul Simpson, who has been there for 2.5 years now. It was just over two years.
Yeah.
It feels like the ownership is kind of setting up to have him there next season, given that, you know, you are bottom of the table this season. As you've said, kind of said, relegation feels pretty inevitable at this point. But I'll be honest, I haven't really seen that much in the way of kind of like pressure on Simpson to be removed or change manager particularly. Is that because last season was a bit unexpected, or just because people are kind of hoping next season he'll be able to find that bounce back?
Paul Simpson's always going to have legendary status at this club. At the end of the day, he is, you know, he's had, I think only Bob Stoker's maybe had more promotions with us, or maybe Alan Ashman, but basically what, 3 promotions over his 2 spells. It should be noted, actually, funny enough, that 8-game losing streak is our joint second longest ever losing streak. Paul Simpson also holds the record for the longest losing streak of 12 games in his first season, but he took over an absolute mess. It wasn't really his fault back then. The owners are not putting pressure on him. They love him, and he's a big part of why they came into the club, because they were so impressed with him when they spoke to him and stuff like that. But that really, really helped us, and obviously in terms of what happened last season. In terms of the fans, I think someone did a poll on Twitter the other day, and I think 72% of fans were still wanting him to be in charge for the start of next season, whatever happened. So that percentage is probably, if he'd gone back a few months, that would have been more like 95%. So it's dropped down a bit. There is a bit of discontent among some fans, but I mean, you always find the ones who are discontented are the ones who speak the loudest. The ones who are generally, it's fine, won't say anything, and they'll just play along. So it sounds sometimes like there's a, you know, that loud minority against it, but actually most are quite fine. The owners seem to really like him. But I think Simo's also quite realistic and knows, look, if that losing streak had carried on another 2 or 3 games, it would have been very tough for him to carry on, just because the atmosphere would have been dropped right down. Getting that win at Burton and getting the clean sheet as well makes a big difference. And if we could get, like, if we got a 0-0 this weekend, you know, it's a bit of a dour result, but at the end of the day, we look, well, that's 2 clean sheets in a row, 4 points picked up. Things are looking a bit better. That's what we need. We need a bit of sort of belief put into the team and a bit of pride. And if we can get that for the rest of the season, I think we're accepting we're going to lose games in the running. You know, we've still got Derby, Blackpool to play, teams like that, you know, so it's going to happen. We just got to show a bit more fight. And there was plenty of fight the weekend. And I think hopefully with a few more players come back from injury as well, we'll get to see that.
I guess the ultimate aim now is like, don't finish bottom of the table, realistically, if you can. I think there's a bit down to Fleetwood, who are just above you. But I think they're maybe, what, 4 points above you with your win yesterday?
I think we've got a game in hand, because we played Cheltenham. Our game against Cheltenham, for some weird reason, it was called off, I can't remember when it was, the start of the year. And that's been rearranged to like nearly the end of the season, which was a bizarre decision. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, where we are come that point. So that's our game in hand. That's going to sit there for a long, long time. Sort of almost hanging over us and hanging over the other teams if we do somehow go on some sort of run to get ourselves away from trouble. But you're right. If we could avoid bottom, great. To be honest, if we can avoid being the worst team in League One history since all the reorganisation and names were changed, I think our fans would be quite happy with that.
I don't know.
I have a feeling it's 25 points. So we're not actually that far off it. So we've got one more win and we're there pretty much. So I think it's pride. And we saw a bit more of that the weekend. And I think the feeling is, right, if we stick with that team we had against Burton, we'll grind out enough results to get a bit of pride back into the team.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It's when you know relegation is going to happen, it's all about kind of what you can look forward to and what next season is about, more than, you know, more than how are we going to finish this season, and are we going to, you know, are we going to stay up when the reality is already staring you in the face? You know, you've mentioned some of the players who we should look out for. We both obviously suffered with, you know, players leaving for Portsmouth in the January transfer window. How big of a loss was Owen Moxon? Because he played against us against, when was it, a couple of weeks ago at Fratton Park. And he does sort of run the show a bit for Portsmouth, even though he's only just signed there.
Yeah, he didn't fight. It's a strange one because some of our fans don't think he made this step up and you know, he struggled to make the step up. I don't think he did. I think just the quality of play around him wasn't as good. And it did take him a bit of time to find his feet. I still think we were probably expecting a bit too much of him in a team that was going to be struggling this season. He's a good player, but he was never going to sign that contract. And I think it's probably the best thing the club could have done is like, well, what's the point in keeping him here when we could get, I think it's, the rumour is somewhere pushing 300 grand is what Portsmouth paid for him. He's out of contract in the summer. It's like, well, we can use that money to buy, like in the summer, to buy like one of the best midfielders in League Two, you know, to give ourselves a chance of coming straight back up. And that's, you know, and then the wage we've saved on not replacing Moxon as well, use that towards it. So I don't think there was ever, yeah, he's a miss. He definitely is a miss because he's got real, real quality and the players we've got in there now are not the same sort of players. But it was the right move for all parties. And he played against us literally 2 weeks later and he got a really good reception, which I was pleased about because sometimes our fans, for some reason, even players who, you know, been good servants to us, they'll give him a bit of stick when they come back, but he didn't really get any at all. So it was good. But yeah, he's a miss, but yeah, we move on.
This weekend, you'll probably be lining up with the 3-5-2. I imagine that you played against Burton yesterday as well. I imagine you won't see any changes from that game, right?
Possibly Josh Vella, because he came off with what looked like a possible knock towards the end. So he might come out, but it's not 100% certain on that one. He might still be in there. I'd imagine it will be pretty much the same as long as they're all fit. One of the questions is Paul Huntington, because he's not really played as much this season, and kind of hoping Simo now starts picking him a bit more often, because he's so experienced and he makes such a difference at the back there for us. So I think the hope is that he will be fit. He's changed up the fullbacks a bit as well this season, the wingbacks. So maybe Jack Ellis might come out for Finn back, possibly. Not 100% on that one, but I think the only likely change is if he's injured is Josh Vella basically coming out, and it probably would be Alfie McCormack coming in for him, I think, most likely.
With that, let's end it there. It feels like a big game for both sides. I feel like you're probably more optimistic today than you probably were 24 hours ago before the Burton game.
Yeah.
What is your score prediction for the weekend? Will you get a second clean sheet in a row? Will you send 1,500 Reading fans home very unhappy?
You know what? Part of me thinks, you know what, a draw would be a good result against a team that, because you guys actually, this is the thing, even though you guys have, you know, struggled for big chunks of the season, you're actually doing quite well at the moment in terms of your form. So I'm kind of, I'm going to be an optimist and I'm going to go with a 2-1 win, not a second clean sheet, but a 2-1 win. And yeah, I can't even think of who goal scorers would be right now. I'd have to have a good think about that one. But probably Armstrong finally get a couple of goals.
I think the panic will really set in amongst Reading fans if we do lose 2-1 at the weekend, if it hasn't already. I think I'm gonna go for 2-1 to Reading. I'm just gonna have to keep predicting away wins. I know that's something that Paul does, our host, and he just predicts 2-1 away wins in the hope that at some point we'll win 2-1 away from home. We've only managed 2 away wins so far this season, and both of them have been to nil. So maybe at some point we'll finally get a late minute winner as well. Who knows? But
yeah,
Lee, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. I would say best of luck for the rest of the season, but it does feel like that's probably a bit patronising. I mean, I'll say hopefully that Carlisle can salvage some pride and you can, you know, see some wins before the end of the season.
I mean, as much as we'd like to try and somehow perform a miracle and avoid relegation, I don't think we'll be overhauling you guys at the very least. I think you are probably just a bit too far ahead of us right now, I think, looking at the points thing. So I think we're probably
all one team at a time, isn't it?
So yeah, exactly that.
But one next game up and all that. We'll be back on Sunday after whatever time people get in the door after Carlisle away. I don't know what time we're going to be back, but it will be late, I'm sure. But we'll be back on Sunday with a review of the Carlisle game. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please drop us a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Be sure to check out Lee and the rest of their crew on the Brunson Bugle for us on their preview show. And I assume, Lee, a review of the game next week at some point.
Yeah, we tend to baggage our review and preview together. So we're probably, I'm trying to think, we haven't got a midweek game, have we? No, we haven't. So it'll be probably Friday next week if we do a review of the game, yeah.
So if you want to hear about Reading's, you know, tremendous 3-0 victory on their podcast, do listen in next week to their show as well. Until Sunday, up the ding.